Greetings and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate. We're coming to you from Press TV headquarters in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Thank you for joining us. No bending to the Trump administration's bullying tactics. Well, that's how the Palestinian officials have reacted to the White House's announcement of planning to close down the PLO's office in Washington, D.C. Now, the U.S. saying that a move intends to block cases that Palestinians have raised against Tel Aviv in the International Criminal Court. Now, Chief Palestinian Negotiator Saad Erekat has decried the move as continuation of, quote, collective punishment by the Trump administration. Now, what is it that the U.S. is trying to get at? Let's discuss that. First off, let's have an update from Press TV's Mona Kandil in Ramallah about the Palestinians' reaction. Mona, over to you.
Well, as you were saying, it's not the the first action against the Palestine Liberation Organization. The PLO is the main entity representing the Palestinian people here in the occupied territories and abroad. And the Trump administration have been taking a series of measures against the PLO. As you were saying, Saeb Erekat, the PLO Secretary General, said in a statement today that the decision yet is another affirmation of the Trump administration's policy to collectively punish the Palestinian people, including, of course, the cutting of financial support for the UNRWA humanitarian services, including health and education. Also, the Palestinian government, Palestinian spokesman of the government said it's a declaration of war on efforts to bring peace to the Palestinians and the region. It's very clear that since U.S. President Donald Trump became the president of the United States, he's supporting and he's aiding Israel, and he's trying to block any case against its ally, the Israel, in the International Criminal Court. However, Palestinians insist that Jerusalem Al-Quds, the east part of Jerusalem Al-Quds, will always be the capital of their future state, and they would continue to work in order to fulfill this. And whatever the United States or Israel would be taking any measures against the Palestinians, they are going on the international arena to bring cases against Israel. Whatever would be more sanctions would be carried out by the American administration.
All right, thank you for that. That was Mona Kandil, our correspondent in Ramallah. Now, let me introduce our guests who are joining us for this debate. Today we'll have journalist for Al Masdar News, Bryce Junkers from Brussels, and also Next Century Foundation Secretary General William Morris, who is joining us from London. Now let me begin with Bryce Junkers in Brussels. Bryce, is the U.S. seeking to protect Israel because of the war crimes that it's been committing against the Palestinians, you think?
Has a very long history of doing everything they possibly could in order to protect the Zionist state, to protect Israel from any form of scrutiny or any form of potential punishment for its crimes. And it is very interesting to see that the United States is acting in such a rash manner, in such an extreme manner, based only on the fact that Palestine might start cases in the International Criminal Court. Because the United States is not even a signatory member of the ICC, neither is Israel. So this, even if the ICC were to go on with actually filing like some sort of judicial court case against Israel, most of this would most probably be very symbolical. And yet, even though these symbolic measures that may not even have much bearing on the actual material situation, the reality situation. Of the Palestinian people, even this apparently has to be blocked, according to the Trump administration. We have seen that the especially the pressure groups that are being represented so widely, these lobby groups in Washington D.C. have put so much pressure, I believe, on the American system, that even something as simple as the PLO trying to just appeal to the International Criminal Court in order to solve these cases of violence, injustice, and oppression being perpetrated against the Palestinian people are being attacked in such a radical manner that they would even basically expel the last little bit that of diplomatic representation that the Palestinians have left within the United States.
Okay, now let's move to London. We have William Morris there. William, Washington, as you know, declared Jerusalem al-Quds as the capital of Israel. It also plans to withdraw $25 million in aid to Palestinian hospitals. We also have that freezing of the UNRWA funds. Now, what are these moves directed at, and how should Palestinians feel about this kind of treatment that they are receiving?
Yes, I mean, Washington did recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Wasn't the first nation to do that. Russia was the first nation to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel earlier last year, before Washington, the Russians recognized East Jerusalem as the West Jerusalem, I beg your pardon, as the Israeli capital. And broke ranks with the international community and got little flack for it. But America followed suit, recognizing the whole of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It's very unfortunate that these two nations have done this, and it is inappropriate and quite wrong. It's also unfortunate that America only accepts a PLO, or did only accept a PLO mission, rather than a proper Palestinian Authority mission, as the countries of Europe have done. And if I had been leader of Palestine, God forbid, of course, the last thing anybody would want, but I would certainly have closed the PLO mission in protest, because America, and I feel the Palestinians should long ago have closed that PLO mission, because America should accept a full Palestinian Authority mission to the United States. That said, the U.S. action, Trump's action, is based on the Palestinian move to take Israel to the criminal court. The International Criminal Court is really that's an end to any peace process if Palestine is successful in taking Israel to the International Criminal Court. And it would be a final nail driven into the coffin of any peace process by the Palestinians. So it's an inappropriate thing, in my view, to do.
Okay, let's go to Brussels and ask Bresh Unkers also. Bresh, William believes that this is damaging to the Palestinian peace process with Israel. Let's have your comment on this.
Well, I believe personally, I would, even if the court case with the International Criminal Court would have continued, I would have had very little faith in it in the first place, because I believe, as I said before, there are many international powers, including the United States, that are not even signatory parties anymore, at least to the International Criminal Court. And the International Criminal Court has shown to be a relatively toothless organization in the past, and as well has a history of let's say pro-Western and often imperialist bias to it. So even if these Palestinian cases would be treated in the ICC, I would have very little faith that it would pass. And I believe this is basically a sign things we have been seeing ever since the 1990s, being that the Palestinian Authority and the PLO in particular, ever since the Oslo Accords, has been taking these increasingly, let's say, pacifistic and rather toothless and rather passive ways, so to say, in order to try to achieve their goals. And we have seen that ever since 1993, the Palestinian cause has only basically deteriorated, because the Palestinian government led by the PLO has basically never really shown any claws, let's say, shown any real tenacity in order to achieve their goals. Instead, they decide to basically keep to every sort of U.S. Imposed peace process, and even that, as we have seen now, even that apparently is not even good enough anymore for the United States. So if anything, indeed, I agree with Mr. Morris that the Palestinians should have closed the PLO office already a while ago, the PLO office in Washington, D.C., in protest against the way they are being treated. by the United States of America, but I'm afraid that this is something that has come to be expected of the Palestinian Authority nowadays. Like I said before, it is another sign of things going to speed up now, probably in the wrong way, in a very bad way for Palestine. That things are speeding up. That for people like John Bolton, for example, and for Donald Trump himself, the peace process, as it exists now, is apparently not even pro-Israeli enough yet, and so they want to accelerate this even more.
Yeah, we'll come to that point later in the show. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to William Morris in London. William, John Bolton has threatened sanctions on the International Criminal Court if it goes ahead with investigations against the U.S. and Israel. Now, it's going to ban ICC judges and prosecutors from entering U.S. soil and even sanction their funds and, as Bolton put it, prosecute them in courts. What is the U.S. afraid of if it's really not committing crimes?
Well, it's a very unhelpful action by the United States to make this kind of to try and intimidate the International Criminal Court. But that said, the International Criminal Court has been a waste of space. I mean, they have successfully indicted, for example, President Bashir of Sudan. What does that achieve? Mm-hmm. It set back peace in the Sudan by 20 years, and we have ongoing forgotten war in Darfur, which is essentially fueled by the actions of the International Criminal Court, which stopped President Bashir's interest in any peace process. So the International Criminal Court has a very, very shoddy record. And I really don't think, I mean, what's it going to do next? Indict President Bashar al-Assad of Syria? You know, it's not, does that help any peace process? The International Criminal Court is very counterproductive. But that said, we don't need these hawkish moves by the United States either. It is unfortunate, it is wrong. That this overreaction.
Okay, William, it's not only the International Criminal Court. I see that both Bridge and you are talking about International Criminal Court being toothless or inefficient or whatever that is. So the question is, how can the U.S. be free to make interventions in any part of the world and even sometimes make violations and commit crimes without taking in accountability? Which world body, if not ICC, UN, others, which world body should have the authority to monitor Washington's moves and even order their halt if violations take place?
Well, the United Nations, really. Now, I know the problem is that we have the permanent five members of the United Nations who are not going to indict one another. But we have to see UN reform, ultimately. I don't think the idea of putting countries in the dock, they can be put in the dock, and perhaps there is still room to do that. The United States has withdrawn from the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva. I think that's the place to raise this, and it is actually a very constructive place to raise this, and it's very open discussions at the UN Human Rights Council. They're a very sound body. They have their flaws, but nonetheless, it would be better if these matters were raised there, and the United States, Israel, whomever is misbehaving, Palestinian Authority itself has not been perfect. It's had its flaws. You mentioned the PLO. The PLO does not represent Hamas, does not represent Islamic Jihad. These are real problems for the Palestinians, that it is not a true umbrella body. So the Palestinians have issues they need to look at.
Right. Okay, Bruce Unger is in Brussels. Do you agree with what William Morris just said, that it should be the UN who should take care of these and see what even the U.S. is doing, if any violations are made or crimes committed, and the Human Rights Council especially? Let's have your take.
Absolutely. I believe that if there is any international body that operates with any semblance of or any legitimate claim to legitimately worldwide, and it will be the United Nations, despite, of course, its flaws with the permanent five members, which has shown, of course, its results. When you talk about the International Court that is tied to the UN, the International Court of Justice, which by itself, of course, has a problem in its operation, considering that the obligatory binding mandate of the ICJ, of the International Court of Justice, can be vetoed by a member of the Permanent Five. So that is indeed that shows the problem that the United Nations had. But indeed, the Human Rights Council, the Human Rights Board of the United Nations, is the only body internationally, I believe, that has the impartiality, that is impartial enough at least to hear all voices worldwide. Something that the ICC has been severely lacking in the past, and so that the United Nations could indeed be the only one who can try to bring nations such as Israel, such as the United States, and such as other nations that gravely violate human rights and international humanitarian law, to bring these nations to justice, or at least to call them to order.
Okay, William Morris. Palestinian negotiator Saeb Erekat says that Palestinians will double down their efforts and file a new complaint with the ICC soon over Tel Aviv's decision to demolish a Bedouin village. Now, the U.S. takes no heed of the U.N. You're both saying that the U.N. should do it, but U.N. has been practically not efficiently acting. Now, the ICC, the other world bodies, you also believe that they are not doing what they should be doing. So where should the Palestinians turn to? I mean, what choice do they have?
Well, there is ongoing. It started just today. There is a session of the International Human Rights Council in Geneva now, and it's exactly the place where nations who have sympathy for the Palestinian issue should be raising this question in special debate. And they can do that, and they should do that, in my view. You have the outgoing Human Rights Commissioner is a very honorable man, and I'm sure he would take on board these issues if properly raised. I don't want to claim for 1 minute that there are not crimes committed by Israel. I mean, you look at last time I was in Gaza, the issue of the sonic bombs, the issue of low-flying aircraft, which virtually were used to supersonic jets flying low across Gaza, used to punish the Palestinians, because it achieved was frightening children. That kind of action is of itself a crime, in my view. But so there are things that should be raised, and no better place than the Human Rights Council.
William, do you believe that Israel will take issues. Heed of that?
I think that it'll be more bothered by that than by the International Criminal Court. Yes, I really do. I think it's an important venue. It is, in some degree, genuinely impartial, and the International Criminal Court is not. And actions there do not put a brake on the peace process. The ICC actions at the ICC are really counterproductive, I think.
Okay, let me ask Bresh. Bresh, what do you think?
I think, of course, it is always important when it comes to the international level for nations to negotiate and to go through the proper UN channels. But in a situation like this, we must not lose track of the importance of direct action. I think if there is one thing that when you're really looking at the scene itself, on the ground itself, if there is one thing that frightens, that might frighten Israel in a way, it is the fear of a more tense situation with the Palestinians in the West Bank, in Gaza, and with the millions of Palestinians living within the borders, the quote-unquote borders nowadays of Israel. So what I believe is that it's very important for the Palestinian people to make their voices heard, to come to get to the street to protest, and to basically show that they are willing to defend their homeland, and they're willing to defend the Palestinian state and the rights of the Palestinian states of the Palestinian state by all means necessary. Obviously, we have to, we can hope, and I really do hope for support from external nations. Mainly, of course, nations such as Syria and the Islamic Republic of Iran. But we have to, we can't fool ourselves, because we have seen in the past 70 years of Israeli existence that the majority of the international community has failed the Palestinian people time and time again. Okay. So it is always, up in the end, up to the Palestinians to make their voices heard and to rise up.
All right, one last question for both of you gentlemen, and please respond to me very briefly. The first, William Morris. Will these actions and policies that the White House is adopting in favor of Israel and against Palestinians not harm the U.S. role in settling the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? Can Washington be regarded as disinterested and qualified party to intervene?
Washington has never been disinterested, but we would hope that it would take a constructive role. It obviously hasn't been doing so lately. And by the way, yes, this call for direct action from the Palestinians, I would stress direct nonviolent action. That's been the line of people like Marwan Barghouti from his prison cell. We do need nonviolent action and then direct action from the Palestinians in protest.
Yeah, of course, Palestinians did have peaceful protests in Gaza, but they were confronted by Israelis. Anyway, Bresch, very briefly,
please. The impact was massive. The impact of that has been massive, at the terrible cost in human life.
Yeah, but they paid a price.
It has had a massive impact.
Right. Okay, we don't have much time. Let's go to Bresch. Let's have your final words, please, very briefly.
Well, I believe indeed when it comes to the role of the United States, it should be clear to everyone that the United States has lost each and any role in achieving a just and constructive peace, despite what they keep on saying. So if there is any peace process, negotiated peace process that has to move forward, we need to basically keep the United States out of it, because the United States has and always has been and probably will always be the main backer of Israel, with a key strategic interest in protecting and defending the Israelis. So we should, the Palestinians know this, it is my hope that the Palestinian Authority finally decides to move ahead to any future negotiations without relying too much on the United States of America.
Okay, let me thank our panelists, journalists for Amasar News, Bresch Onkos from Brussels, and Next Century Foundation Secretary General William Morris, who joined us from London. Thank you both, gentlemen. And thank you for watching this debate show. We'll see you next time.